Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
What's up, everybody? Happy hump day here on this Wednesday afternoon. You are in for the 2 o'clock edition of Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr. and Matt Scraby here today. Chris Ello out. And we'll take you on a nice long ride today as we cover some sports. Feels like a Friday because of yesterday. You know, we did had a day off. It feels like the week is coming to the end, but it's not. We still got a few more and three more days left to go on the week there, Scrape.
Yeah, I'm personally happy Chris is gone, so we can move forward and have a nice time together.
I kind of knew you were going to say something along those lines. You tend to get quite mouthy once Chris once Chris is not here. So
of course, defend himself. Of course, because Chris is not here, so I'm going to defend myself.
Remember to listen at 3:35 for us to announce today's biggest fan for a chance to qualify for a night in our Odyssey suite at a future Padre game with all the fan staff. Register your name at 973thefansd.com. /biggest fan in order to potentially have your name called. Got some good guests on hand. Mark Ziegler will join us. We'll talk a little Aztec basketball. Also, Beto Durand does the pre and post for the Lakers. He'll join us to talk about their hot start as they got some new news today about LeBron James.
His sciatica.
Sciatica is starting to stop. It's not flaring up as much. He got back to some action.
Imagine that.
LZ Harrington, a freshman from San Diego State, will join us in the 4 o'clock hour. And Ryan Lindley, senior offensive analyst for the San Diego State football team, will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. But, Scraby, right after Craig Stammen was named manager, many of those dudes were like literally going from the press conference on Monday straight out to Las Vegas for the GM meetings, in which we get a little bit of news today. Kevin Acey, I believe yesterday, or it might have been the day yesterday wrote kind of what day one looked like. And I thought the biggest news out of that was not the biggest news, but important news, the payroll. And he said that you could take these type of stories early with a grain of salt, but the payroll will remain at the levels that we saw last year. And if I'm not mistaken, where did they end up team-wise? Was it
like third or fourth?
So, I mean, it was a pretty healthy size payroll.
The Padres have never, well, in the last 4 or 5 years, they have not cheaped on the payroll.
No. They haven't.
They definitely are putting, you know, I saw your group say they're putting every last penny into it.
Even when they did fall in like 10 or 11, by the end of that year, they were, because of the moves they made, or ended up back up closer to where they were.
Because they're a normal team and they're not the Dodgers, they had to go down below the payment threshold to come back up.
I wouldn't necessarily call them normal at all. Here's why. I think Padres probably piss off a lot of the other teams.
They're
not keeping the company line of, you know, spending below or spending like a quote unquote small market team.
Yeah.
They're not doing that at all. And I'm sure that irritates a lot of the other owners around baseball. So I wouldn't call them normal by any stretch of the imagination, but I thought it was probably the on the better side in terms of news that the payroll would remain at least in the levels that we've seen the last couple of years.
Yeah, that is good, because right now I think they carry about $200 million just as is of payroll, so that gives them another 100 or so. They got to find a lot of starting pitching.
Now, the bad news in this article from Kevin Acey seemed to insinuate or at least point to the fact that both of the starters that have elected for free agent, one elected for free agent, one was a free agent, very well could be gone.
I'm getting more and more used to the idea.
That's the take I took. They both had qualifying offers given to them. They both are expected to turn those qualifying offers down, in which the Padres would get some picks, I think, somewhere between the fourth and the fifth round. But that might be news for some Padre fans, if it is indeed true.
Yes, it's going to be news, but is it? I've kind of felt like the writing has been on the wall with these guys.
I always felt like the thought was at least one of them would come back. And it seemed more like King as the projected prices started to kind of surface. It seemed more like King. And so reading that article yesterday from Kevin Acey would indicate, and again, take it with a grain of salt, it's early, no one knows exactly how this is going to unfold, but it would seem that those two guys may not be back as Padres.
Yeah, and it's sad for me for a couple of reasons, because Michael King, we had so much hype and feel good around him last year. Obviously, he was injured for most of the year, couldn't get much out of him. And Dylan Cease, I think I'm more convinced than ever we're going to miss Dylan Cease more than Michael King, just in the fact that he makes every start, strikes out a lot of guys. Sure, he was frustrating this year, but there's something to be said about a guy who could strike out over 200 batters and make every start.
I agree with that. But I will say this. I don't know that Dylan comes off as the, like, dog type. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that dude who in the biggest moments is just going to – you're just going to see him rise to that occasion.
Yeah.
I think Dylan is the most consistent – probably guy on the market in terms of taking the ball every fifth day.
It's almost what you're paying for.
At this point, and when you give, especially when you're talking long term, right? I mean, you want to know that a guy is, I mean, you ultimately want everybody to perform, right? Every year you want them to be good. But on the years that they're not going to be at their best, can you still rely on them to come take the baseball and not put the rest of your team, your rest of your pitching staff in jeopardy? Because you're not out there, and they're depending. And he definitely brings that. So there's certainly some value to that. The other kind of news that has come out of at least the first day of GM meetings, seems like A.J. Preller is inclined to want to have Luis Arraez back. And I'm sure that rankles quite a few people out there.
I don't think it will rankle them for whatever reason. We just attached the $14 million to Luis last year, which honestly didn't make a big difference. But if
the price tag is different.
I guess if the price tag is right, which I know you've said before, who cares, you know, about the price tag? Or no, Chris has said before, yeah, who cares about the price tag as a fan? But it does take away the ability to sign other guys if he's making too much money. Anyway, either way, I think if he comes back and he can be a 290 hitter, but he makes a little bit less money, I think they'll be fine. The interesting part, though, is where is he going to play? Because it can't be first base.
I mean, not if you are intending on... I mean, I guess you could find a way to make him find a power bat DH, but, I mean, you're limiting yourself, right? If you're not being able to pick from a first base and a DH pool, some of it will kind of intertwine, some of it won't. So, yeah, I don't know.
I guess if you want to move him somewhere.
Saw him play a little second base there at the end of the season there.
Which I've been thinking a little bit lately.
But then that kind of creates an issue with Jake.
I know. And we're hearing all these things at the GM meetings about Fernando, we'll get to that later, might be on the trade block. I don't believe that one bit. But maybe guys like Jake Cronenworth. I mean, I don't want to put their names out there, but he does play second base, and he's got an affordable contract that can be moved. And that's the argument about Fernando, is that his contract can be moved. But I do know the Padres really value Jake Cronenworth, and so I don't know if they would be willing to go that direction.
Yeah, there's also talk of I think we kind of hit on this Monday, some of the arms possibly moving from bullpen to starting rotation. You've heard Morty Hone's name. You've heard Miller's name. David Morgan's a name that has kind of surfaced. I think one of the things that, you know, I've kind of learned from having this conversation, because really AJ's had and the Padres have had success moving guys from this spot. And the thing I take away is if a guy is adamant about being a starter, those are the ones you want to look into. If he's kind of like, you know, whatever you guys need, those are the ones that sometimes you want to leave alone, right? Because it's a commitment to be a starter. You're doing things on a completely different workload.
Yeah.
And so if a guy is not 100% sold out into doing it, and it doesn't even necessarily mean that he doesn't want to, just he's kind of like indifferent. Like, hey, listen, I can, whatever you guys need me to. Those may not be the best candidates for that type of change.
I totally understand, because it's a whole different job, the reliever versus a starter. But like in radio, I was that guy. So is it that some guys like David Morgan might just need to do whatever they ask him to do just so he stays in a position where he's getting playing time?
If it's really about that. It's about the production you're getting out of it, right? And if a guy's... It's almost like when, you know, you hear a pitcher talking about making a pitch with conviction. Like, he puts the number down, he pushes the button.
Fastball.
And you, like, don't even hesitate. Yeah, I'm throwing
just
that.
Go.
But when he pushes that button, you're kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
It's probably best not to throw that
pitch.
I
like that.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we'll see how that kind of unfolds. A lot of stuff to kind of iron out here as we move into the offseason. You got the manager situation done.
Yes.
You still...
To the chagrin of lots.
To the chagrin.
Chagrin's my new favorite word.
To the chagrin of a lot of people. But you also still, you know, haven't... You know, the extension for AJ hasn't popped up yet.
That's strange to me, because I kept reading last week that they were hoping, and I know this was just a rumor, but they were hoping to have an extension done with AJ by Monday. And now we're way past Monday. Well, 2 days past Monday.
I don't know about way
He's
past,
at the but... GM meetings. He still doesn't have a contract. At what point do I get worried?
I know he's
under contract through this next year.
I guess when AJ worries.
Okay, that's a good.
If he ain't worried about it.
He hasn't said anything about being worried. He said that they're going to work on it. So
yeah. Well, we'll see. It all is TBD at this point. All right, let's get to break. Lots of show ahead. Ruben Niebla back in the fold. Bob Nightingale, he certainly caught the ire of quite a few Padre fans over the weekend. We'll explain it all when we return. More Gwynn and Chris.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This holiday season, too many San Diegans will go hungry. Join 97.3 The Fan and support the San Diego Food Bank. Donate food directly online through Odyssey San Diego Food Fund, where every donation helps feed local families. Go to 973thefansd.com/foodfund and give today. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Chris Ello out. Going to go back to some of the news today in terms of AJ, I mean, getting right to it. The top priority is the starting rotation. I'll get to that in a sec. Today, the National League and American League Cy Young Award will be handed out to one of three guys in each league.
Well, we already know Paul Skenes is going to win. So.
Scraby is convinced that Paul Skenes is going to win. I mean, we have the MLB Network on, and we were trying to figure out for the life of us why they were showing a September 4th game with the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And the Pirates are 5-0.
Right. The Dodgers are losing, and I'm like, yo, what is this about? And I was like, is Cy Young Award today? Is this possibly why? It is indeed. Cy Young will be announced today, I think around 4 o'clock. You know, they're piecemealing this out to us.
I know. I'm so over it.
Last 2 days, we've had different awards. We had the Rookie of the Year. Yesterday was Manager of the Year, which was a repeat in both leagues, back-to-back.
Yeah. I'm surprised Vogt got it.
Over who was in the Schneider was in that one.
Yeah, I felt like he should have won because his team was first place mainly the entire year, never really dipped, made it all the way to the World Series. I'm not sure why Vogt, because
he has a lesser team. Let's be real; his payroll is certainly he's working with a little bit less.
He's definitely working with less.
I mean,
but
he still has one of like the most underrated players,
Jose Ramirez,
in baseball on his team.
But yeah, I'm a little bummed for John Schneider on that one.
Yeah, that, I thought Schneider might win it, but again, that's we also have the fact that they went on a World Series run in the back of our head. This was already voted on right at the end of the season. Kudos to Vogt. And then Pat Murphy goes back-to-back as well. Again, another smaller payroll-type team that got as far as they could go.
With that smaller payroll-type team, they got steamrolled by the Dodgers.
They did.
Like, it wasn't even close. The Rookie of the Year, Nick Kurtz, probably deserved to win that for the A's.
That was Monday, right?
Yeah, Monday, and Drake Baldwin for the Braves. Yeah, we saw Drake Baldwin that opening day last year.
He got to start. He started the first three games. I think he came out I think Darno got healthy.
Mm-hmm. And or then, not Darno.
Sean
Murphy.
Sean Murphy, as he got healthy, and then eventually kind of took the job back.
He did.
As he went on to win Rookie of the Year. All right, back to the Padres. Pitching being at the top of top priority for the Padres. Kevin Acey writes that they certainly most likely won't be shopping at the top of the market. So what does this starting pitching market look like, Scraby?
It's, you know, it's not the greatest market in the world.
You don't think it's a great, a lot of people think this is a very deep starting pitching market.
Well, if you're looking for, when you're looking for the big names, you know, a lot of the big names are already off the board.
That's why this is a deep, supposedly
yes.
a deep thing.
So if you're willing, you can find value for sure.
Okay.
And
give us some names.
I'm trying. My stupid thing is
dying on me. It got slow
me.
Right as we got on air and you needed this information. Huh?
It's really unfortunate because I had it ready to go.
The infamous had it ready to go.
All right. Here. Up. All right. Here we go. Let's go to the starting pitchers again because I had to refresh. I mean, you got Jordan Montgomery. Yeah. Nick Martinez. We know him. Chris Bassett. Lucas Giolito. Here's Framber Valdez, but he's going to cost a lot of money. Miles Michaelis, Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, Alex Cobb, John Gray. You know, we know about Gallen and Cease. Imanaga, Ranger Suarez, Tyler Molly. Like, once you get away from the big names, it's kind of a drop-off. Like, you were talking about Merrill Kelly.
Yeah.
I mean, he would be a great, third, fourth pitcher for the team.
I mean, they're looking for two starters, it sounds like. So I mean,
you can find
Kelly,
some value there.
Give me some of those earlier names you gave.
Bassett, Giolito.
Bassett's intriguing.
He did a pretty good job out of the bullpen.
He was a starter most of the year. They only moved him to bullpen
for the playoffs.
What
about Scherzer? He's too up there.
I mean, you love a bulldog like that, but how many starts are you going to get out of him? You already are kind of,
honestly, you already kind of have a guy like that on the team.
You got some depth issues as is. I don't know if that's the safest way to spend your money on that one.
I don't trust Lucas Giolito at all.
No trust for Lucas, huh?
No trust for Lucas. Miles Michaelis. 37 years old. There's a lot of older pitchers, which isn't a bad thing, but we already know that Clayton Kershaw is going to retire. Jose Quintana, maybe. That's something right there. He did well for the Brewers. Martin Perez, we want to bring him back. He was with the White Sox last year. Adrian Hauser's also. I mean, Brandon Woodruff. Eric Fetty.
He could be an interesting one as well. Woodruff. He's coming. You know, he had to be shut down during a postseason.
He did.
Shoulder popped up on him again. So,
ooh, Germán Márquez.
Germán Márquez. Struggled big time this year. But
he's only 31 years old.
He's got good stuff. So you're starting to get the drift, right? I mean, at the top, there is a drop-off from the Frombers, the Ranger Suarez's, the Dylan Ceases, the Michael Kings of the world. Then you probably got the next tier underneath that. And those are a lot of the names that you just mentioned.
Which I would think last year, if we're naming this, Nick Pivetta would be on the lesser-name tier. I don't think we would consider him to be the guy.
That's a fair point. It's a fair
point. So the Padres were able to pluck him out of there late in the spring training or late in the offseason. I think they're good. AJ's really good at one thing, and that's finding value and finding talent. So I'm going to trust him.
Yeah. No, I think that's something in which he does well.
But you also have to keep in mind, they only have about $100 million for everything that they need for the rest of the year. I'm just saying $100 million because they're already at $200. Last year they spent around $300, so I'm going to say $300. Like, they have to maximize that $100 million because they're not going to be able to move any contracts.
Now,
not trading Fernando Tatis Jr.
Now, mind you, you're breaking that up. You know, if somebody signs a 3-year deal, you got to cut that by a yearly basis and kind of go
true.
From there.
Yeah.
So, they got some room to spend if that's the case. And, you're going from here. How you spend it will be mighty important.
Well, this year, there's less to find in the field. You already have your outfield.
Last year it was left field.
It was left field. It was first base, possibly second base.
Starting pitching.
Yeah. But this year you have your outfield set, and then you have most of your infield except for first base. So all you're really doing in this offseason is prioritizing pitching.
Yeah. And that's already been said. Managers being hired all over Major League Baseball. We had 8 managerial openings to start the offseason. All have been filled except one.
I wonder why. Who wants to take the Rockies job? You know, you give me...
Paul DePodesta does.
Yes, he does. And I found some really funny jokes out there. Albert Breer, do you know who he is?
I think I've heard
he's an NFL writer. He quote tweeted the announcement of him going to the Rockies. He said, "Does that mean you're going to move to Denver?" Apparently, Paul DePodesta was doing his GMing from San Diego.
I heard that.
To Cleveland.
I heard that.
How do you do that? How do you be a GM and you're not there on a day-to-day basis?
So we're still waiting for a manager to be named for the managerial job in Colorado.
They're going to be like, "Chris Bryant, are injured and you're making a lot of money. You're going to step in as manager too."
That being said, a lot of new managers. No major league experience manager. And I think that's an important distinction. No managerial experience at the major league level.
Correct.
All but one has had managerial experience in a professional realm in terms of minor leagues, kind of cut their teeth that way.
Yeah.
With the exception of one. And I think that one might have caught the ire of Joe Matt.
You think?
He had some words. Scrape, we have those words?
He was on with KMBR in San Francisco talking about Tony Vitello, who is the man who doesn't have any major league experience.
Or professional
experience. But he's a prince, remember, Tony?
According to the article.
Here's Joe Madden with KNBR.
But, quite frankly, I'm using the word insulting only from the perspective that it appears as though you don't have to have any kind of experience on a professional level to do this job anymore. Because when I was coming up, you had to have all that. You had to go through the minor leagues. You had to ride your buses. I was a scout. I started in 1981. I finally get a managerial job in 2006. I mean, there was a rite of passage, a method to get to that point. So to think that somebody could just jump in there and do what you took 20 some years to be considered qualified to do, it is kind of insulting. Now, having said that, the next part is I wish him nothing but the best because I watch videos of the guy and I could actually understand why it's perceived that he's ready to do something like this. So the I guess the overarching point is in today's world, prerequisites to get jobs of this caliber, even jobs like a mere job of New York City now, it doesn't require the years of experience that you may have had to have gone through in the past.
I've listened to this, so I forgot that he dropped in the New York City mayor job.
He just had to drop a little politics in
there. Little jab there, I guess, of some sort. I completely understand where he's coming from. Because as a guy in radio who didn't get to the mic until I mastered all of the stuff that no one wants to do around the building, I would feel some type of way if someone came in, sat down in the chair, and was like, hey, I'm on the mic now. Like, what was the last 9 years of my career? Was that just for me to waste time? I don't know. Like, I can understand why he feels that way.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people could understand. I'll give you my thoughts at 3 o'clock on this. We got to wrap this particular segment up because Mark Ziegler is going to join us next. Talk a little Aztec basketball. I believe they're off this week. Back on the court next week, I believe. Boys are taking a little break. We'll have Ziegler on to talk a little bit about where this team is at through the first couple of games of the season. Lots of Gwen and Chris on the way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
2:36 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Scraby came up with another name during the break. What was the name?
Yes, I forgot completely about this, but our esteemed boss Adam sent me a tweet about Sandy Alcantara. The Marlins are saying that they want to keep him. They want to make sure that he's surrounded by great players. But we
Is
will
he a free
listen.
Agent?
No, we will listen to offers.
Okay, we compiled a free agent list.
Yes, but AJ's good at trading, and he's good at trading with the Marlins.
We haven't started talking about trading yet, but when we get to trading, yes, Sandy Alcantara will be on that list.
Did you know he had a 7.7 something ERA in the first half and a 3 point something in the second?
Yes, I did, Scrape. Did you know that I do baseball games for a living?
You don't do Marlins games.
Touche.
Okay. I'm excited to talk to Elzie Harrington, by the way.
I am too.
He's certainly a big and up and coming name on this team.
He's certainly one of the more exciting freshmen I can remember in a little bit of time. Has shown well in his short time on the Mesa, and Aztecs off to a 2-0 start here to begin the season. Mark Ziegler will join us here shortly. Got Beto Duran to talk a little Lakers a little bit later on. We mentioned LZ Harrington will also join. And we'll have Ryan Lindley talk a little football. Rough loss this past week. Looking to bounce back, but they don't have no time to really fret about it either because Boise State the biggest game of the season. It's coming up here this week.
Yeah, my neighbor is – I hope he's not listening right now. He's one of the most positive, negative San Diego sports fans I've ever met in my entire life.
Positive, negative, huh?
Like, before the game on Saturday, the Aztecs game, man, you really think they got a shot this college football playoff thing? And I'm like, I don't know. They got to keep winning. Next day, I see him after they get smoked by Hawaii. I knew they were going to be garbage. I just knew. I just knew they were going to be garbage. But, I mean, that was a bad loss. That's the loss that you can't have happen after winning like six straight games.
Well, it did happen. So, you know, there's that. So you have to figure that out and be able to bounce back as that was, as you said, it was a bad loss. But again, Boise State right on the mend here, or right on the, right around the corner here. Couple things in the NBA. Bradley Beal, Clipper, was traded from Phoenix to the Clippers this offseason. And I haven't heard much from him. I don't know what he had been doing this season, but he's done for the season. Apparently, during the last game, did something to his hip. He'll have season-ending hip surgery. This is bad news for the Clippers, who are off to a little bit of a rough start this season. So, really unfortunate news for the Clippers as they're trying to get their season turned around. We'll get to some of the NBA.
I stop doing load management, maybe.
Oh, that! Why do you think that has anything to do with load management? You know,
I mean, when their best players don't play,
we're not doing this. Mark Ziegler's on the line. Talk some San Diego State hoops. Mark, how are you, my friend? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great. Magoon Gua, 6 months of load management.
yeah, exactly. A lot of this is guys who are actually injured at this point. Mark, big milestone for Dutch over the weekend, 200 wins on the season. I don't know if people really understand how big that number is.
Yeah, and again, you know, okay, so there are a lot of guys out there who won 200, but he did it in 268 games,
right,
which is just insane. And it took him a little bit over eight seasons. It would have been eight had he not had, you know, a couple seasons shortened by the pandemic. And he's number 25 in the all-time list, I think. There's some pretty impressive names on there like Mark Few. You know, this is a guy, you know, and we've talked about this before in his first year, until like the last 2-3 weeks of the season, people are like, oh no, is this really the guy? You know, is he not really Steve Fisher? And no one's saying that anymore. You know, he won six straight to close that season and went to the NCAA tournament. And then a couple years later, he's 30-2 and then a couple years after that, he's in the national championship game and he falls out with the Sweet 16. And now he might have as good a team as he's ever had. So I think his the body of work speaks for itself.
No doubt about it. He has certainly been a part of the change of culture here at San Diego State and has continued it on his own. Mark Ziegler joins us here, Union Tribune. And Mark, Aztecs off to a 2-0 start. Won by almost 40 the first game. A little bit kind of sloggish game the second time around. What's been your takeaway through the first two games?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've looked all in all pretty good, considering that, you know, the biggest piece, literally, Magoon Gua, is not out there yet. Yeah. And, you know, and Reese Waters didn't play in the first game. And, you know, Reese Waters and Magoon have never played together in a game. And so that's something that, you know, people kind of have to get, you know, wrap their head around and get used to. But I think they're really right on schedule. Their practices, their arc of improvement at this time of year is so far ahead of last year and ahead of a lot of years that I think if they keep improving, you know, their starting point was so high that they're just going to keep going up. Their ceiling's going to be pretty high. So I think so far everything's on schedule. They're going to get a little bit tougher test now in Troy coming up here next week. Troy probably should be 5-0 coming in here, and they're, you know, statistically and according to the metrics, better than Idaho State and Long Beach State. And obviously the big test is going to be Michigan on November 24th at the Players of Only Festival in Las Vegas.
Yeah, the schedule only starts to get a little bit tougher. Mark, Miles Heidi has stood out to me through the first couple of games. His energy kind of sparked it in the first game. It kind of got them rolling. Was this the kind of expectation that the Aztecs had for him when the season started?
Yeah, you know, the thing that people have to remember is big guys take longer to develop.
Yeah.
And he was a big guy. Brian Dutcher, when they recruit big guys in high school, they're not looking at the product in front of them. They're looking at, well, what kind of feet do they have? What kind of work ethic do they have? What does their shot look like? You know, what does their frame look like? Can they put on more weight? And he kind of checked all those boxes. And then it's just a wait. You know, now let's wait two seasons and see what he looks like. Well, now we've waited two seasons, and we're starting to see what they envision for him. I mean, you mentioned energy. He's really, really been energetic. I think his knees bothered him a little bit last year, and he's a lot healthier this year, so I think that helps. But just it's just the natural maturity. You know, the fact that he which showed me a lot. He's a confidence guy, right? When he doesn't play well and he doesn't have good confidence, he has bad body language, and he just kind of down the dumps. And when his confidence is high, which it is right now, he really plays well. I mean, you can tell his confidence is high because he took a three-pointer in the first half and missed, and then he took one in the second half. Usually guys who have questionable confidence, they miss that first one. They're like, no way am I taking another one. He took another one, and I think that was a really positive sign. I don't think they always want him taking threes, but that was positive, just showing that he has a lot of belief in himself, and I think that's what you're going to see the difference with him this year.
Talking to Mark Ziegler here on 97.3 The Fan about the Aztecs basketball team. We're going to have LZ Harrington on the show a little bit later, so we're excited about that. And I was reading through his bio, and I didn't realize how accomplished he was in high school and how many other schools really recruited him and tried to get him to go to their school. But he chose the Aztecs, started in his first two games great. What are the expectations for him this year as a freshman?
Well, he's a freshman, so no one's going to, you know, overhype him, I think. It's just everything is gravy type thing in a program where freshmen really don't play a lot typically. But I can tell you, I've talked to some NBA people, some scouts, and they already have their eye on this guy. And it's not the stat line. It's just how he carries himself on the floor. You know, he's 6'6". He's long. He doesn't get rattled. And I think one of the big things was in the Long Beach State game, they play a lot of real pressure defense, kind of like San Diego State, having, you know, a former San Diego State assistant, Chris Acker, as their head coach. And he had no problems against the pressure, just took the ball up, look for somebody open, initiate the offense. And some of the passes he made were so high end for a freshman that it got some people's attention, trust me. And one in particular was, there was a fast break where he threw over the top. He like had one dribble and without hesitation went over the top, over the entire defense to Farrell Compton streaking for a dunk. That's a play they work on. They've worked on in practice. It's part of their system. They get it in practice, but no one had really done that in a game in you know, last season or so far in this one. And his first true game, he does it.
Yeah.
And that tells you the kind of upside he has. I think they're quietly really, really excited. And I think you're going to see his playing time really spike up. Particularly watch for end of games. I think you might see him on the floor in crunch time in close games.
Mark Ziegler joins us here at Union Tribune. And Mark, I don't know if they're going to be able to keep this one bottled up very much longer. I mean, all the things you said stand out watching him. And that was the thing I noticed most is he didn't seem like a freshman when he was out on the floor. And his impact was felt despite the stat line being you know, not something that jumps off the page at you.
Yeah. Let me turn this answer around into a question to you. You've seen a lot of pro athletes, right? You know what a pro looks like, just regardless of the sport. When you watch him, do you see just the way he carries himself, the way he sees the floor, or the way he goes about his business? Does that just scream pro to you?
It does. The fluidity in which he moves on the floor, it's like the perfect pace to get up and down. I was impressed watching. I'm looking forward to talking to him when he comes on a little later on. One of the things you wrote about, Mark, in your most recent article was the pick and pop was giving the Aztecs a little bit of trouble. And Dutch, to no one's surprise, was like, good, this is exactly what we needed to happen. That was interesting watching a team that really dominated that game defensively struggle with that piece of it in the second half.
Yeah, and there's a couple parts of this. First of all, Looney, their coach, Ryan Looney, who was at Point Loma Nazarene, took Point Loma Nazarene to the national championship game in 2019, is a really, really good underrated coach. He's one of those guys that, you know, no one really pays much attention to him because he's maybe one of the toughest jobs in the country. They don't win a ton. They finished fourth place last year, which was in the Big Sky, which is like the best they've finished in 35 years. I mean, that's how hard the job is. And so no one really paid attention to him, but he's a really, really good coach. And little subtleties in his offense and the way he puts it together. And he made an adjustment at halftime that really exposed San Diego State. But as you pointed out, Brian Dutcher is like, oh, this is great because we need to work on it. We need to see it on film. We need to get exposed. And they got exposed without losing the game. But that's part of like the when I talk about how this team has sort of progressed at a much higher rate, faster rate than some of the previous ones, that's part of it. I mean, in each game they played this year, whether it was UCLA, whether it was USD in the exhibitions, then Long Beach State, and then Idaho State, there's been something with their defense that hasn't been quite right. And then they had to work on it, improved it in practice, and came back and were better at it. And so this is sort of the next progression and next step in that, trying to read, okay, is the guy a screen or is he going to set it and then pop? What do we do? And they do two different things based on that read. And so seeing it in a live game, now being able to, you know, put it to practice for 9 days, I suspect they'll be way better at that against Troy.
Talking to Mark Ziegler here, SDUT on 97.3 The Fan. And I'm going to ask you about another Mountain West team. That's Boise State, because they started the year against Hawaii Pacific. They lost to Hawaii Pacific. And I'm just wondering, like, is that a terrible loss? Or is it just one of those things that happens throughout a season? Because I saw a lot of people freaking out that they lost to Hawaii Pacific and it's going to affect their rest of their season.
Well, from a metric standpoint, it has no effect because Division II games and below don't count in the metrics. Only Division
lucky for them.
But it is on the team sheets when the NCAA Tournament Committee is looking at your body of work, and there it is right at the top is a loss to a D2 team. Even worse, this is a D2 team picked seventh in its conference. So it wasn't like, oh, this has been one of the best. You know, it's not like Cal State Dominguez Hills, which, you know, was a Final Four team in Division II last year and has a bunch of guys back. It's not that. And so I think that was the cause for alarm. Plus, they had quite a bit of travel to get there. However, I think so it really, you know, they can recover from that. They can go on and win a bunch of games and everyone will forget about it. But I think the bigger issue is if you lose to a D2 team like that at home, you probably have some bigger problems.
Yeah.
And maybe you're not as good as everyone thought you were going to be. And so I think that's the bigger problem. And you saw that, for example, with UNLV, they lost to Tennessee Martin in their opener. Awful loss at home, right? 300 RPI, I mean, a Ken Pom team. And so you think, well, they can get over that. They come out, they blow out Chattanooga in their next game. And you think, okay, it's behind them. And then they come out last night and they give up 102 points and lose by 9 to Montana. And that, you know, the Tennessee Martin loss alone didn't sink them, but it was a sign of, okay, there's some problems here. And then it reared its head against Montana. Now you got two of those. And, you know, they're going to have to win the conference tournament to go to the NCAA tournament. And we're three games into the season.
I think for other reasons is you just don't want the teams in your own conference to be losing those type of games. It only weakens what the conference looks like. Mark, last one for 100%. Me. You talked about the schedule getting, you know, tougher, you know, starting with Troy next week. And we had earlier talked about how deep this roster is. To this point, there's been no signs or reasons for Dutcher to look to trim this rotation. But as you start going through these games, at what point does a head coach start to reevaluate rotations and things of that nature?
Well, I think you'll see it when they play Michigan if it's a close game, right?
Okay.
And they get into, you know, 8 minutes to go, and it's a one or two possession game, I think you'll really start to see, you know, who's playing well that day, but also who's been playing well in the last few weeks, and those guys be on the floor. I don't think, you know, you have to worry about, I don't think he's going to worry about feelings as much then.
Right.
But that said, it's a three games, and likely you'll play three in 3 days.
That's also true, yeah.
You could lose that first game and win the next two and really come out of that tournament looking pretty good, as opposed to throwing all your, you know, eggs in one basket, winning that first game and then not, you know, being exhausted for the next two and losing those two. So, you know, usually in these situations, he will play a deeper roster, even if some of the guys aren't performing at the same level as the frontliners, just because he wants to get through the 3 days.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that will be a really good gauge. I think the Arizona game will definitely be a good gauge because Bagoon Gwath should be fully up to speed by then. They'll have, you know, 10 games under their belt, and they should have a good sense of where everyone fits. Right now, it's really up in the air, and you have, you know, like we just talked about with Elzy. I mean, he's coming. I mean,
yeah,
he is really starting to improve. But then whose minutes get trimmed? Is it going to be Taj DeGorville, the starting point guard? Is it going to be Sean Newman? Is it going to be BJ Davis? Who's, you know, you don't have enough minutes to go around. And Dutch has been very open about that. He goes, I don't have enough minutes. Someone's not going to be happy. The key to this team is going to be, do we pout or are we all in this together?
Yeah, no doubt. Mark, as always, man, appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'll talk to you guys.
Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune, joining us there. And don't forget, all guests on the 97.3 The Fan hotline, join us via the David P. Shapiro fan hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com.
Nice job.
Thank you, sir. Always nice to hear from Mark. Aztecs off to a good start. Things get a little tougher. Troy next week. Then you roll into that big payday tournament, Players Air Festival, Michigan, Oregon. And if you win those two, you're going to play somebody else good. So
it does make me like get excited about when they're playing teams like that.
Yeah, for sure. You definitely get your popcorn ready and plan that day out so you can sit and watch. 3 o'clock hour on the way, little Daily Gambit. And I'll give you my thoughts. What was that I was giving you my thoughts on? Was it
manager thoughts? Yeah, yeah. I even wrote, see, we're trying, Tony. We're trying.
Oh, you get it all on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.